Hi everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. It's March 7th and we have a parenting article for you today in the next couple of days talking about raising kids and how to get them to like each other. And that's why I gave you a very short question at the very beginning. Do you like your siblings? And how do we as parents foster that in our own kids, and was that fostered in us? And I have a couple of parents with me in the studio today.
Hi, listeners. This is Lois, and I'm glad to be here. And this is a topic I really like reading about and discussing.
And?
Hi, everyone. I'm Campbell, and I'm excited because, you know, you guys have a lot more experience than I do in the parenting world, so I'm excited to learn from all of your experience.
Well, I guess, and I'm Linda, and I'm happy to be here with you today. I think that we all have kids at different ages. I have the oldest, and Lois, you have the second oldest,
yeah.
And then Campbell's kids are quite a bit younger.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like young enough to be your kids' children.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and then Linda's and ours aren't too far apart, especially her youngest and my oldest, so.
But I have, my kids are in their 30 and 33, and
mm-hmm.
Lois?
Just about 29 and just about 26.
And Campbell?
4 and 1.
Okay, you do have a ways to go to catch up with us, yes.
I do.
And we're going to be talking about tips that people should know or parents should know that are helpful maybe, and you can think about how you're raising your own kids and getting them to like each other for life. I don't know if there's really anything a parent can really do to make that happen. We
mm-hmm.
can present situations and we can foster relationships. You can't make somebody like somebody.
Right. I actually really like this title, how they use the word like and they don't use the word love,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I feel like you can love someone but not like them.
Mm-hmm. And you can love someone and never spend any time with them.
Yes.
But your sibling, especially when you're under the same roof and you're being raised, you are spending time with them.
Yes.
So I have one sibling. How many siblings do you have?
I have one.
I have one as well.
So we all have one sibling. I have a brother, and you?
I have a sister.
And I have a brother.
Okay.
So you're the only one with opposite sex.
Yeah. I'm the odd one out here. Okay, and so we're talking about generations of fostering relationships with kids and what our parents did maybe, do we like our siblings, and what we're doing maybe to help our kids
mm-hmm.
realize the worth in their siblings.
Well, you know, Linda, it really helped to me anyways that you just pointed out to our listeners what we each have in regards to our sibling, because we do come with a different perspective because of that.
Right.
So that might help our listeners as well.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I didn't like my brother. I think I was just very focused on our differences, and my personality back then was very critical and judgmental. So I felt like I was constantly, you know, judging him, and maybe there was a little bit of that vice versa. And
are you the eldest?
I'm the eldest.
Okay. Yeah. I'm the eldest.
Yes.
I'm the youngest.
Okay. That's interesting, too.
Yeah.
But we're only 1 year apart.
Oh, that must have been hard for your parents.
Well, we're 11 months apart.
Wow.
So my mom said it was kind of like raising twins.
Mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But not.
Yeah.
No. And my brother and I are very, very different.
Okay. Mm. And my sister and I are 2 years, 7 months apart. So was a good, I loved the age difference, and because I love the age difference so much, my kids are 2 years, 9 months apart.
Yeah.
My kids are 3 years apart, and so are yours, right?
Yeah, three years apart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I read somewhere long, long ago that that's the ideal span to mm-hmm. have between children.
Yeah. Yes.
Is 3 years.
They
maybe
say
because
to,
of understanding.
Right. They say to try to have them 3 years apart in school, that's often very helpful. They don't become as competitive. They actually will end up probably being friends.
Really? I
yes.
remember my daughter saying, I wish I weren't related to her brother going into high school. Because they were so different. Everybody, all the teachers were like, oh, you're his brother. You're his sister. I'm trying not to use his name here.
Right.
You're his sister. And she's like, yeah, we're nothing alike.
Well, at least she's honest, right?
Right.
Right. Okay, well, let's read our article and then we'll discuss it more. We're on page 16 of your March issue of your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine, page 16, and maybe you want to find it on your digital device, and you can read along with us. And we're going to read the left-hand column.
Raising kids who like each other for life. Three tips every parent needs to know. When Diane Nippon's third child was on the way, she and her husband had a conversation about shared values. We decided on pretty broad items, Nippon recalls. Be a good citizen of the world, be a good spouse, and be a good parent. Those were our three goals for our kids. Nippon's children are now 21, 19, and 16. A little young to assess whether those early goals were met. But a beautiful byproduct has emerged. Her kids adore each other. It can feel like a heavy enough load to raise children who succeed academically and socially, eat their vegetables, bypass life's more dangerous temptations, and treat others with kindness and respect. Getting them, on top of all of that, to treat each other well, it's a lot. But the payoff is invaluable. Siblings who enjoy, indeed seek out, each other's company.
So you can see that this article is going to offer three tips that they feel that every parent should know when it comes to raising children. And we're going to be talking in particular about this family, the Nippon family, who have three children. And it looks like that their kids are about 2 and 3 years apart as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she was expecting her third child, she and her spouse had a conversation about shared values. I thought their shared values were quite interesting. What did you think, Campbell?
Yeah, I thought... You know, for kids with a family with such young kids at that time to be thinking about things like being a good citizen and being a good spouse, especially, and being a good parent, that's really interesting.
Right. And it is pretty broad, isn't it? To be a good citizen, not only of your country, but of the world.
Well, yeah, that encompasses a lot what she is sharing there. And it is broad, as you say, Linda. I don't think I was thinking maybe quite that way when I was pregnant or when they were really young. I think I wanted them to be a good family member.
Right, yeah.
That's more the way I was thinking, or that they would make friends easily, or that they would take into consideration, I guess I would think, take into consideration those who aren't as well off or as capable as them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's being a good citizen mm-hmm. of the world. And also, to be a good parent, I think I was more focused on my parenting skills and not what I wanted them to accomplish, especially at such a young age.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. I mean, for me, to think about my children being spouses and parents is kind of... feels like it's very far down the road for me, but, you know, time has passed pretty quickly, I guess.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting, I mean, what we do to raise good spouses.
Mm.
You know, because when I married David, he had grown up, you know, and he was used to, like, helping around the house. He cooked, he did dishes.
Right.
I mean, he still does, you know, and I thank his mother for that
mm-hmm.
because,
right.
you know, if he hadn't grown up doing that, then he wouldn't be, you know, probably capable. I mean, mm-hmm. I could have forced him into it, but he washes his clothes. You know, it's kind of like how you grow up is what you expect when you get married as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I think my parents, especially my mom, was good at training myself to be a good spouse. And my children are both married, and I hope they are being good spouses. What I see so far, I'm impressed with. And I think they share the load as married couples. And so I hope they've learned quite a bit of that from Michael and myself.
Okay, and do you, like, make your kids pick up their toys and things like that?
We try, but they're at that age where...
I know, it's hard.
It's like they pick things up and put it in the box, and the next second they're dumping it right back out again. And I'm like, what are you doing?
She's one.
It's the battleground, right?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's just easier to do it yourself, too.
Yeah, it really is.
But now her kids are grown, okay, and they're 21, 19, and 16. And according to the author feels that these ages are a little young to assess whether those early goals were met. Remember, her goals were a good citizen, a good spouse, and a good parent. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing they could look at here would be a good citizen mm-hmm. of the world right,
right.
now.
Right, yes.
But she said that a beautiful byproduct has emerged. And if you have a byproduct of something, what is that, Lois?
Okay, that's the word in our vocabulary focus, Linda. It says something that is produced as a result of making something else, or something unexpected that happens as a result of something else.
So when we talk about byproducts, it means, for example, there are a lot of byproducts of crude oil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get gasoline, kerosene, all kinds of things. Or maybe a byproduct of children being in a classroom together in a closed classroom is that they get sick more often because mm-hmm. other kids mm-hmm. come with germs or bacteria that they are not exposed to, and then they pick them up. So their byproduct of being in that kind of situation is maybe getting sick. So a byproduct means something because of something else. And she, her byproduct is that her kids adore each other.
Hmm.
That's a pretty strong word. I don't think my kids adore each other, but they like each other.
Yes.
I know my kids like each other. My sister and I would adore each other, but we're an exception. I know that. I know mm-hmm. that the relationship my sister and I have is something that a lot of siblings don't get.
My kids at this point, I mean, they're really young, but they adore each other. They wake up and they're just like, cha-cha-me-me, you know, like they haven't seen each other for years.
It's just and it's been like 6 hours.
Yeah.
Or 8 hours.
So they adore each other. Me and my brother, I think we really care about each other, mm-hmm. and that's a big change. I mean, we used to not like each other at all, but we really have grown to really care for each other a lot.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, we don't go back that often. Actually, our situation is interesting. My brother married his childhood sweetheart, who was my best friend.
Mm.
So, you know, we have a long, and our families knew each other, so we have a long kind of relationship in that way. So
right.
when we get together, we have a lot to talk about mm-hmm. because I also know all of my sister-in-law's siblings and their whole family.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a good relationship in that way.
Right.
Good.
Yeah.
But we're nothing, I mean, you know, we're nothing alike.
Your brother and you.
Yeah, my brother and I are nothing alike.
Well, you're a woman and he's a man.
No, but I mean, our interests and everything mm-hmm. are not alike at all. I think that this next paragraph is very true. You know, we feel like, you know, just getting our kids to succeed academically and socially and eat their vegetables.
Yes.
And get through or bypass, not go into dangerous temptations and how to treat each other seems like a heavy burden in itself, mm-hmm. doesn't it?
It
yes,
does.
Definitely.
And, you know, when it finishes off, treat each other with kindness and respect. Sometimes you're just working on not getting that child to pull their sibling's hair one more time that day.
Mm.
You know, and sometimes it's the nitty gritty like that, realizing that your children, my goodness, right now they really do seem almost like they hate each other, and I want to go through this stage really quickly.
Yeah. Well, for us, it's like getting them to eat. Not forget about vegetables, just eat in general. And stop throwing your food on the floor. You don't want to eat it, keep it in the plate.
Yeah.
You need a dog.
Isn't that funny, the struggles?
I think that life is a stage. You mm-hmm. know, I think that one of the things that helped me was, you know, this. You know, when kids are growing up, they're at this stage of life or they're at another stage of life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they work through it or they grow through it.
Right. Yeah. And that's true. I mean, I remember with my oldest daughter, we were constantly like, when is she going to stop using a diaper? When is she going? And she just stopped, you know,
right.
and she just grew out of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And they'll grow out of throwing food on the floor, too.
Right.
At least then they'll throw it in their mouth. And it said, on top of all that, and on top of all that just shows that it's one more thing, you know, and it's this is already enough. And in addition to, they have to treat each other well. As you said, please don't pull her hair.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it says the payoff is invaluable, and now her siblings seek out each other's company.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. Yeah, you know, it's kind of nice right now because my kids live close to each other right now as married couples, which is kind of unique, and I know it won't stay this way, but the four of them get together. Mm. I feel like I have four kids now. The four of them get together, and you know, that really does my heart good, because yeah. I see how they are actually enjoying each other and doing some things together and having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I think this is really unique, the idea of seeking out your sibling. I mean, you could be civil to them, you could be kind to them, but that actual, like, seeking them out and taking that initiative to reach out, I think that shows a lot.
Yeah, my kids get together, too. They live about an 8 hour. One lives in Minneapolis in the Midwest, and the other one lives in Chicago, and they actually get together. They travel back and forth.
Nice.
Besides holidays,
that's
or in
great.
Addition to holidays. And they took a 2-week vacation together to Greece this past last fall. So I was like, really?
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. Can I go?
Yeah.
My son was like, I knew you were joking. And my daughter was like, yeah, buy a ticket. I did not go. Well, let's read our next section, the right-hand column on page 16, Companions by Blood and by Choice.
Companions by Blood and by Choice. The sibling relationship is a dress rehearsal for life, says Time magazine science writer Jeffrey Kluger. It's where you learn about conflict resolution, where you learn when to stand up for yourself and when it's smarter to stand down. You learn compassion, intimacy, confidence, and truth-telling. Savvy parents know that a conflict-free relationship between siblings is not the same as a close-knit relationship. Swiftly breaking up every spat won't foster much of a bond. But what will? We turn to the experts for advice on cultivating sibling bonds that will withstand the wear and tear of time. Three themes emerged. Model respect. When parents model how to talk and how to listen, children learn how to communicate with siblings, says Aisha Williams, licensed marriage and family therapist. That means setting the tone early and maintaining that you're going to get angry, but it's never acceptable to hurt each other. It's no more acceptable to throw things at your siblings than it is to throw things at your parents.
I think this first sentence in this section is quite interesting. The sibling relationship is a dress rehearsal for life. And this is one of our vocabulary words, a dress rehearsal. Campbell, you know a lot about that.
I do. The dress rehearsal is the final rehearsal before you perform a show or perform a concert in front of an audience. So that's kind of when everything should be in place and you're kind of getting ready.
Right. And if something is a dress rehearsal for life, it means in a sibling relationship, it means you're learning how to treat people,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Right.
And that's what this Time magazine, I think it's interesting, a science writer says. And it's where you learn about conflict resolution. And we could talk a lot about conflict resolution, but really, what is it?
Well, conflict resolution is the methods involved in bringing about a peaceful ending to conflict. So your end result, you want that peace.
Yeah.
And you're going to have communication and maybe even use some props to get your children to come to this resolution.
Yeah, I think that's a very important skill to learn because, I mean, with anyone you're going to have a conflict. Every person is different, so even the closest people to you, even the people you love, you're going to have conflict with. So how do you learn how to resolve those conflicts?
Right, and I'm glad you used that verb. The verb resolve is it's the verb form of the noun resolution, and that means kind of like to come to an understanding. Maybe not to solve the issue, but because there's always going to be another conflict,
right.
You know, I mean, as we live life.
Right.
But you learn how to resolve or come to some kind of resolution. So I thought it was interesting that what follows this, where you learn to stand up for yourself, and when it's smarter to stand down.
Mm. Yes,
very, very
like
interesting.
Yeah.
So we're going to stand up and we're going to stand down.
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, stand up, oftentimes we think of standing up for our beliefs or maybe our way. And stand down, I always try to remind myself of this because sometimes I really need to. You don't need to win this one, Lois.
Mm-hmm. Or back
this
off.
The battle isn't that important, Lois. Back off, and you'll be better for it, and you will be a better person, too.
Right. Yeah, I think my wife is really great at standing up for herself. I think a lot of people need to learn how to do that. You know, if someone is not treating you with respect, you need to stand up for yourself and just, hey, you know, hey, don't talk to me like that,
right.
You know? But not in a way that you put them down, in a way that you are respecting them as well, but you need to stand up for yourself and, you know, not demand, but, you know, expect that people treat you with mm-hmm. a certain amount of respect. But at the same time, as you guys were saying, learning to choose your battles, yeah. You know, and sometimes you just need to let things go.
Yeah, you know, I remember one time with one of my children, like Linda, I'm not going to mention a name. They were really, really pushing, really wanting their own way, very strong, and quite young doing it. And I can just remember saying the child's name and then saying, "You're not going to win this battle." Changed that child's perspective completely. It was like, wow, mom's let me know.
Right, and I think sometimes we have to, as you said, choose your battles. Because it seems like we have... Well, you know, children's personalities are totally different, and I think every parent needs to remember that. I have one very strong-willed child and one more of a when he was growing up, he was more complacent and would kind of like, you know, do what you wanted more easily. The other one was like, yeah, kicking and screaming all the way down the street.
I have two of those. I don't know what to do.
Oh, lucky you.
They are both so strong-willed, seriously.
Well, maybe it won't apply for you, but I love birth order books. I mean, I could cover my whole shelf with birth order books of your children. So, I don't know, maybe you should read a few of them.
I don't know, they're both so strong. It's just like, no! Like, I'm like, where did you learn that word? I never taught you that word. No!
Yeah, it seems to be the second word they third word they learn yeah. after mom and dad,
yeah.
ma and ba and
yeah.
no.
No, yes.
But, you know, I also think it depends upon the parent and your parenting style. I mean, when I realized with my strong-willed child, when I also backed off a little bit because I wanted things a certain way, mm-hmm. that, you know, it was also less conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we also need to think of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And notice here that it says you learn compassion, intimacy. Usually when we think of intimacy, we're thinking between a couple. And, you know, intimacy is much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, close relationship and that shared trust that you have with one another. And confidence and truth-telling. And those are pretty important. They're not skills, but they're pretty important to learn in mm-hmm. relationships.
Right.
And I like this next word, savvy parents. Do you guys consider yourself savvy parents?
Sometimes I have no idea what I'm doing.
I think my husband was more of a savvy parent than me, for sure.
Okay, savvy parents, they know what they're doing. Know that a conflict-free relationship between siblings is not the same as a close-knit relationship.
That's true.
And that is true, mm-hmm. because even, you know, you're very close with your spouse if you're married and you mm-hmm. have conflict.
Right.
So why would you ever think that your children
right.
won't have conflict?
Right. I mean, there's many ways you can avoid conflict. You could just not talk to the person,
right.
not ever see that person, and then there won't be any conflict.
Right.
But then there is no close-knit yeah. relationship.
Exactly. And when you think of your siblings, like when I said earlier that my sister and I adore each other, we do, but we still have conflict and we still need to resolve it. The thing with us is we usually bring it up really quickly and it gets taken care of very
mm-hmm.
quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't always work as well with my marriage doing that. But, so maybe that's very helpful as well.
Okay, and remember, close-knit just means that it's a group, like here it's a family, that you help and support one another. And I think the next sentence is very interesting. Swiftly or quickly breaking up every spat or argument between your children won't foster or help much of a bond. They need to also learn how to deal with situations.
Definitely.
So what does? It says they turn to experts for advice on this and what will help withstand, I love this phrase, the wear and tear of time. Okay, that's damaged. You know, things wear out, you know, so wear and tear of time just means over a long period of time, of course, things are going to happen. And the thing is, parents, that we can do is to model respect.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right. Learning how to talk to each other with respect and not to put each other down, to fight for each other, not with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this therapist, Aisha Williams, she's a licensed marriage and family therapist. It means setting the tone early and maintaining that you're going to get angry. So if you set a tone for something, it means you set kind of the ground rules or the feeling for how your family is going to behave or members of your family are going to act. Note that you will admit that you're going to get angry, but you don't hurt each other. And sometimes we do hurt each other, but not on purpose. Mm-hmm. I think that we also need to be aware of that. And also, I think this is very important. It is no more acceptable to throw things at your siblings than it is to throw things at your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to teach our children that. So we have more to talk about tomorrow. We hope that you'll come back and join us for our second day of Raising Kids Who Like Each Other for Life. Bye for now.
Bye.